So if we were going to go to the end of the episode and say, do you have any reservations about this episode? I would say that last minute, because you are very, very clearly in a very understandable place of being upset in this. But I don't think that that last minute is going to be helpful to anyone.
I can edit it out. That is okay.
Profits have hit a record high, and you've all worked overtime to make it happen. So it's time to be rewarded with a corporate pizza party. The podcast taking you inside the highs and lows of corporate America, hosted by Dan Space, Farah Sharghi, and Mike Petito. We couldn't afford bonuses this year, but sit back and enjoy the next best thing.
Welcome back to another corporate pizza party, where this week we are going to dive into all sorts of fun topics. What's happening on the internet? What's happening in our heads? And what do we do when we screw up? Which is a lot. Before we get into any of that, we of course have to kick this off the interview we always like to do. Farah, good morning. Tell us about yourself.
Good morning, Mike. Hi, everybody. I'm Farah Sharghi. I am a technical recruiting leader and career coach who lives in San Francisco. I am sad to say I've had no donuts this week. I did have pizza yesterday. It was really yummy mushroom pizza. And I paired it with my friend Xander's amazing wine. So I'm feeling good today.
Dan, tell us about yourself.
I'm Daniel. I'm the HR business partner of this little trio. And I am addicted to coconut pineapple soda with zero calories. Take that, beet powder drink.
Coconut pineapple soda?
Yeah, it's sparkling ice pineapple coconut. Pineapple
Ooh,
coconut
soda.
Yeah, it's delicious. It's so much better
sparkling
than
sparkling ice. You know the deal. We are open to sponsorship. You just got a name drop, sparkling ice. So you can just send the check. Just so y'all know, this week I looked. We are the number two business podcast in the Barbados this week.
All right.
Ah, yay. That's so cool. Let's go. Let's head out. I want to meet Rihanna.
That was my first instinct, too. I was like, should we go to a live episode? Get us to number one, and we'll come to a live show on Rihanna.
And Mike, tell us how you're doing. Tell us about yourself.
Hello, everybody. My name is Mike. I'm doing fine. I was supposed to have pizza today, but we're not going to this birthday party. Sometimes you just go through it. Been having a tough week, and some of y'all know that. I want to rant for a second, if I can. Just real quick, just want to say something to our listeners out there, but maybe not so much our listeners. Stop being such assholes, okay? Last week, I came on the podcast and I said, hey, are y'all okay? I no longer care if you're okay, because it's not an excuse to be such fucking assholes. Just stop being assholes. And this comes in a lot of ways, because I know a lot of you out there have convinced yourselves like, oh, if people go on public, on social media or anywhere in public, they give up their right to not have me be an asshole to them. And that is not true. But we have reached a spot where many of you have convinced yourselves that you're not being an asshole. You're just contributing to like a public forum, and you've made an excuse for yourself to be an asshole and to say things to people that you should not say things just because they've made content on the internet. So this is me asking all of you, whether you are okay or not, can you please stop being such assholes? Thank you. That's all I wanted to say to start this podcast off.
Well said. No assholes.
This is a no asshole zone, and just, I don't know. We all get it. It's social media. We talked about this a ton on last week's episode. We're not going to go down the same exact episode. I just want all of you listeners to know, if you listened to last week's episode, that I've escalated from caring about if you were okay to just asking you to stop being such assholes.
Can't wait to see where we are next week.
Next week, I won't be here, and this will be a two-person podcast with Dan and Fair. You'll be like, Mike just no-showed, and I don't know what happened.
Just a message for everyone. If you are listening to this, you are probably not one of the trolls we're talking about. So you are not in the wall.
But tell your friends.
A note from the editor. We cut out about 2 minutes of Mike ranting and insulting Gen Z, Phineas, Ferb, Teacup Poodles, Jeff Bezos, the humpback whales from Star Trek IV The Voyage Home, and your mom. We've decided to give him another shot at it so we don't get canceled.
So if we were going to go to the end of the episode and say, do you have any reservations about this episode? I would say that last minute, because you are very, very clearly in a very understandable place of being upsetness. But I don't think that that last minute is going to be helpful to anyone.
I can edit it out. That is okay.
So if it felt good to say, and then you now feel good, but let's make sure we don't put that in the episode.
Let me try it again. Gen Z, I do not think you're lazy. I do not care if you have children. I wish that some of you would have watched the full video. I wish that some of you would not have taken the things out of context that you had. It was a poorly edited video. It has been stitched by many famous musicians, including Phineas, and it is all over the place. And I hope that maybe you see this one too, and know that I have fought to make things better for Gen Z in as many ways as I can, and try to give advice in as many ways that I can. And unfortunately, sometimes the internet is unforgiving. So please give me a fucking break. That was take two. Is that better? A lot of you are going to pick up the podcast right here after I go through and edit out a ton of ranting we just did. So those of you picking back up from a much happier place and will never know what's on the cutting room floor of this episode.
Oh my God, you guys, get it together. I cannot keep cutting whole sections if you want there to actually be an episode to release. It's just going to be Mike doing the intro, then everyone answering the do you have any reservations question at the end. I'm a producer, not a miracle worker.
Dan, last week you really wanted to talk about something, and we got off on a tangent, and we never let it end, and we did the whole episode, and it was a very nice episode. But I know you wanted to talk about sort of an important real workplace topic and handling things. So talk to us a little.
Yeah, so I thought it would be great to talk about how you handle mistakes and how you handle the mistakes of other people. And once a year, I think about this. In 2019, I had just fallen in love with someone who lived in a different continent. And falling in love when you're 39 is very, very different than when you're like 20 and 22 and 25. So like when you're mature and fall in love, you're like, whoa, what I have to go through all this again? And so I was very obviously distracted. I was going to see him for the first time since I had fallen in love with him. And this unfortunately was paralleling at the exact same time that we were getting ready for a performance review, and I also had to move out of my apartment. So I had three big things happening all at the same time. I had the performance review at Spotify. I was going down to Mexico to meet with my boyfriend for the first time that I was calling each other boyfriends, and I had to move out of my apartment. And so I was a little bit distracted. So the Friday before I went to Mexico, I was sending out a note to everyone, all of my leaders in the performance review, to kind of talk about like, what did you want to do reward wise as related to stock and equity? And so I saw there was a senior director of design. She had sent me a note and I responded back to her and I was like, oh, hey, you know, thanks for telling me this. By the way, you know, for equity, I know you definitely want to give this person stock, but is there anyone else that you want to give stock? Does this person deserve stock? Do you want to do this? Let's just make sure that we cover it. What I did not realize until I had sent was that I had hit reply all to a note. So the original note that she sent to me was not just specifically to me. It was actually to her entire design team announcing that she was actually going to be away one day next week. And I got like 14 like of those like out of office replies, and I was like, what did I do? And so I was talking to another engineering leader at the time, and I was like, I've just made a terrible mistake. I have to get off the phone with you. I've just done the worst thing ever. And so when the email started to come through, I slacked her right away, and she was like, breathe. And she could see me typing, and she was like, Daniel, it happens. You made a mistake. So then she called me and she was like, breathe. I just want you to breathe. I want you to breathe. Breathe. This is not that bad. It's not that bad. It's okay. Obviously, it shouldn't have gone to everyone. Obviously, you named someone that I do want to give a reward to. Obviously, you know, there's some context I can be pulled from this, but in the break of things was not all that bad. And secondly, it happens. So how do we fix it? And I said, okay, I'm going to write an email saying, hey, everyone, I'm sorry. This is only meant to be for Emily. You know, my bad. Sorry. Please disregard that. And Emily's like, okay, so I'll take your cue, write your email first. And so I did that.
And I was so touched by everyone in the email string. So these were people that were potentially impacted by that, but people just kept replying with GIFs and memes of like the silly mistakes that they had made. They shared stories of like, oh, that's nothing. That reminds me of the time where I emailed the whole entire company when the server went down for, an hour and a half. And I was like, what an incredible way to be a leader, to demonstrate to people how people make mistakes. And her response back was, we all make mistakes, guys. Please just, remove that from your memory. Strike it from the record as though it was a courtroom. And I thought that was such a graceful way to handle a mistake. And so once a year or so, I repost a story and I tag her. And every year, she'll respond back saying, yep, I still remember that, still love that. An absolutely incredible experience.
I think there's a really key lesson here. And I think it's something that a lot of people struggle with, which is like, one, we all fuck up. We all make mistakes and it's going to happen. And two, when they happen, you have to own them. I think that this almost goes back to job interviewing, but I know we don't want to like dive deep into like job interviewing tips in this, but like people get so mad about some of these questions, like behavioral based questions or past questions or things you've done. And a lot of questions are designed in an interview to get a feel for like, how do you take ownership of things and move forward from things? I think those are two very big professional traits. How do you take it and move forward? And I just think that's what you did, right? And then hopefully one day it becomes funny. Hopefully it's not a mistake that just like led to something that can never be joked about. But I think a big mistake people make when they make mistakes is just like refusing to kind of like accept it, own it, and do something about it.
Absolutely. So that led me to want to ask both of you, and I know I should have probably texted you this before we started the podcast, but what is one of your biggest mistakes? Like what is one of your like, oh no, I screwed up?
Thankfully, like knock on wood, to this day, I haven't done anything like that's like a fireable offense, because I try my best to be like, oh, okay. But what I want people to take away from this is it's something that's also really practical, not just from your day-to-day work. But when I coach clients, depending on the situation, I'll let them know and say, look, when you're doing your like four core stories, like what Mike always talks about when you're interviewing, think about a time when you failed. Think about that time, what you did to overcome that failure and what you learned from that experience, because everyone's going to fail. That's fine. You know, it's what you do afterwards that is more impactful. And so when you go into a job interview, actually the fact that you are comfortable talking about a failure will have more impact and be stickier. And, you know, the interviewer will respect you a lot more and go, wow, this person is self-aware. They understand that it's okay to fail. This is a learning experience. So I'll give you an example of something that you really shouldn't do. So when I left a certain employer, one of my former direct reports, because I used to have a team of recruiters that used to report to me, she did something outside of my supervision because I had left at the time. I found this out a year later. So as a recruiter, she wrote offer letters incorrectly to the engineers. And when you write an offer letter, you have to put in things like how many shares of equity you're going to give that engineer and like when they vest, et cetera. She basically doubled the amount of equity that she had originally said in the offer letter that she was going to give, but she actually gave double. So when the first vest date came around, finance came a knocking and said, hey, all these offers that you made during this period of time are all incorrect. And it effed everything up. She did not take responsibility. Her new boss took responsibility and said, it's my fault. Even though the recruiter should have taken that responsibility, she became the fall person for it. And that's, I found out, obviously, and I was like, that is really awful.
For those of you not doing the visual, me and Mike are both very shocked faced, like, because that is a huge issue. I'm like, how many offers went out with bad equity language that you had to honor?
I don't know. I didn't ask, but I can't imagine, at least imagine, but imagine like you sent out, let's say 10 offers to engineers and they all got $100,000 equity packages. And then like, so that's like, you've allocated $1 million, but then $2 million of equity is like supposed to go out. And it's like, oh, wait, hold on. What's going on here?
oh God, I feel bad for her. At the same time, I'm like, I'm having heart palpitations at your former coworker's mistake.
Yeah. Well, the irony is that this recruiter kept her job. She's still there. She still managed to keep it. And I'm like, that's impressive that you made that huge. She made that big of an error, didn't own up to it. Her boss had to cover her butt. So, of course, the boss isn't going to fire her, because then she's like, well, now it's going to make me look bad. It's just, it's a mess.
It's so funny because I operate from so much anxiety and fear of messing up at everything that I do, that like all of these stories, so, like, I don't think I've ever had a story where I CC'd the wrong person or like didn't read like a letter I sent out 115,000 times.
When I first worked at Google, they send you to these training classes, like how to use this tool. The first class they sent us to, well, actually the second class, was email class. And I go, we're going to email class? Like, I've been writing emails for God knows how long. Like, why do I have to go to this class? And so I just sat there and just pissed off. It's like, I cannot believe I am sitting in a class on how to write an email. But then they go, let's show you how to update your settings in Gmail. And I'm like, what is this? And they had labs, like they had all sorts of cool stuff. And the thing, so people, if you are listening and you haven't done this in your Gmail after this episode or while you're listening, if you're safe and not driving, do this. Go to your settings, go to advanced settings, then go down to undo send. In undo send, it has options for how long you have to undo a sent email. Go to the longest amount of time. I think it's like 60 or 90 seconds or something, and change it and save it for all of your emails. You're welcome. Mike, are you going and changing your settings now?
I'm doing it in live time right now.
Are you? Okay.
With my current work email.
Hold on.
I've gone into settings. I am going to scroll down to...
I like that every week we now do a technical thing that helps the others. Like, I taught you guys yesterday how to find your hate comments, and this time we're learning. This was a week
ago, but yes. And I use that so much, Dan. Oh my gosh, right? You have saved me so much time. Now I can so easily go and find all the terrible things people say about me in just one quick swoop instead of having...
By the way, I apologize. They've changed it. Okay, so now if you go to Gmail, you go to... I didn't mean to. They change it. So if you go to Gmail, you go to, they change it all the time. Go to Gmail, go to settings. In general, on mine, it's like the fourth line down. It says undo send. Send cancellation period. And the longest time is 30 seconds. Now go all the way down.
5 seconds. That's not enough.
See, it defaults to 5 seconds.
Go down.
So
and
now
save.
Scroll down and save. Save changes.
Wow. I'm glad we did this in live time, because now you've heard the correct instructions of how to do it in
live
time. Just so you all know, you will never get a work email from me again that has not had 30 seconds to be unsent first. So thank you to Farah.
You're welcome.
I also want to point out, we didn't talk about this when it came up. In a part of the episode that may be edited out before any of you heard this again, Farah let us know that on top of everything, every episode, there always being one amazing thing about her that we do not know, she just sort of name dropped how her boyfriend and Phineas know each other. And like, just like, again, just like, oh, and we were hanging out with the person who invented GarageBand. Farah, you're amazing.
Thank you. You guys are amazing too. Listen, I mean, I've been in the Bay Area, for 13 years? And I just kind of, you just meet people, right? If you go out, you network, you meet people, you date certain people, you'll like kind of fall into cool circles. So I did not, by the way, I don't mean to name drop during episodes. I'm not that person. I'm not James Corden that's like, I know so-and-so. It's
you
just
should.
For the, no.
You're into pure being. Drop all the names you know.
Farah is our Tahani from The Good Place. Every conversation where she's just like, well, when I was hanging out with the Backstreet Boys this weekend and they said, Mark Ruffalo's salad fork is on the wrong side of the plate. That is Farah in every story you try to tell.
Boom. I love The Good Place.
I live in Northern Illinois and don't see anyone famous. The closest famous person to me is Joel Lalji, the realist recruiter, who lives about 15 minutes away. So those are the celebrities that hang out where I am.
Wait, why? We need to get him on the show. He's been crushing it in social. He's just been growing crazy.
You gotta get Rob on the show. He's in Chicago too, right?
I mean, they don't even live near me to get on the show because we do this virtually. But yes, he is.
But you should meet up with them. They're great.
I kind of like the idea of one of them just popping up on your video there behind you.
Ah!
It'd be Joel.
Joel and I have had the same conversation, like all groups of adults do, like all adults with children do. About every month, Joel and I will text each other or call each other and say, hey, let's get together and do this thing. And we say, yes, absolutely. And then we don't talk about it again for another month and say, hey, let's get together and do this thing. So that's one day Joel and I are going to show up on each other's videos and surprise everybody.
Can't wait.
We started this episode hot and we are cooling down by ending this episode, just letting you know some people that we really like in our lives.
It's just a love fest now. We're like, oh, Joel, Rob, come on the show. We love you guys.
Yeah.
Okay. So to wrangle it back to the topic, have either of you had a situation where you had to deal with someone else's mistake? And did you deal with it in a way that you thought was positive?
Had a leader in engineering come to me and say, hey, I have this recruiter, and this recruiter was not on my team, and said, you know, hi, I saw what you did with hiring for this other organization. We need some severe help. So as I started looking, I was like, oh my God, like this is bad. So I was able to convince my boss to have this recruiter report up to me. And then once he came to me, I was like, all right, we're fixing shit. So I just said, okay, I'm dismantling what you're doing here. I followed up with the recruiter. This recruiter needed to build up their skill set. It was not the recruiter's fault. This was a very junior recruiter. They didn't know, like, they don't know what a successful process looks like. They don't know what successful interactions look like. So what I would do is I would listen in on their candidate calls, and on Slack live, I would tell the recruiter, I'm like, hey, I'm going to give you prompts to say to the candidate when I feel like, you know, there's like things are going off track. So like actively supporting them, making sure like, okay, in the future that this candidate has a good experience when they're working with these teams, you know, making sure that I'm there supervising and not in a micromanaging way. It's like, okay, you know, afterwards I would follow up with them and say, hey, what did you learn? How do you feel comfortable doing this on your own? How is this going? So like, as a leader, you have to be there to assess the problem and be able to support. And through that, I was able to help like this recruiter and this entire department. That department later ended up leaving and working for Google, because he and I actually talked about that. He was like, yeah, I guess, you know, it's funny because, sorry for going on a tangent, but like 5 or 6 of the hiring managers that I worked with at this company all ended up at either Fang or Unicorn companies. Oops. Sue me.
I'm afraid to tell this story, so I'm going to take out a lot of details. But this is the reason I'm afraid to tell this story is because this is sort of like a job seeker's worst fear. And this is probably like no one individual was specifically hurt by this mistake as much as like I did what job seekers fear is happening. I made a mistake a long time ago in my career where I accidentally set the answer of not requiring sponsorship to be the auto reject feature. And every single eligible candidate who applied was being automatically rejected. And it took about a week before I was just like, we have not seen any type of big inbound. Now, this was before the job market was now. Now I would probably figure it out right away because I'd be like, why are there no applications? I know people are out there. This is when finding candidates was harder. And it took a little bit of time to realize. And there were, I don't know how many qualified is the wrong word, eligible people to be considered for the position that were being rejected. And there was almost no fixing it, right? You can go back and change it for the future. So when I talk about like today, I spend a lot of time double, triple, quadruple checking everything like this. That's just like a thing that has never left my head as I think about just like that is most job seekers like worst nightmare is like a recruiter operating with that level of inefficiency. And I did it once in my career.
My thought process on both of your stories, and Farrah, I'm glad it was not you, and Mike, I'm sorry it was. And my reaction is not in judgment, but rather just in I'm absorbing how horrible that must have felt. Especially because in my example, for you know, it probably impacted 50 to 60 people. You know, and Farrah's that could have, you know, 10, 20, 30 offers. Yours could have been potentially 50, 100 candidates. But it feels so horrible when you realize you have done something that somehow introduces an inequity into someone else. And especially when, one, you realize it was a simple misunderstanding. It was a simple cut and paste, simple administrative thing. And then, two, when you realize the damage that it did.
It's funny, just like thinking about that story. Yeah, you're right. It's like the feeling that came with them, just like, oh, like that's like a fuck up. you know, it's not like it's not a legal one. It's not that anything like happened that just like is catastrophic in any type of way, but just like there were people applying for a job that just like had their chances fucked up because of my mistakes.
Yep.
And it's human error. It's okay. It happens. Yep. We can clean it up. We can fix it and move on.
And I think one of the best things to know is that all the other departments do F up as well. You know, sales will screw up things with their customers. Marketing will screw up things with marketing. But I think one of the things that we feel so terrible with is that we work with the employees inside. So this is very internal type of thing.
I'll be honest for you listeners out there. I have no idea how much of this episode you were going to hear. There's going to be some going back and thinking about some things that were said in this episode and what is probably out there. But one day, somewhere, is a record of a lot of curse words and a lot of things being said. And but we started very hot, and I think we got to talk about people we like and got to address a lot of things, which is, of course, very nice. Before we wrap up, of course, Dan, any hesitations about this episode besides the obvious ones?
Everyone, please go to Mike's videos and send him some love. He clearly needs the reinforcement of the positive comments right now, as we all do as creators.
Very needy right now.
Say that. Mike, you are wonderful and amazing and loved.
Thank you very much. Farah, any hesitancies on your end?
I have no hesitancies. I just want to say that Mike and Dan, I care for both of you very, very much, and I love you as friends and as colleagues. And truly, like, both of you have been so positive in my life. I don't think you understand and realize how much you both mean to me. You know, especially like Dan, you know, you've been defending me for like so many years. It's been like 3 years of you always coming and just being, just like I said, just like a good friend. And I hope that people who listen to this can tell, like, the three of us are actually friends, and we all came together because we all started creating content to really help other people. And we're taking a lot of the brunt of all of these trolls who, you know, yes, I know they're frustrated. Yes, I know that they would rather listen to somebody who's just going to make them feel good and validated in their feelings. But what our mission is to really drive home these messages of, you know, do these things, it will be positive for you in the long term. It may feel uncomfortable. You may, you know, it's like, hey, do this hard work, but it's like going to the gym. You lift the heavy weights, you build the muscles. And yeah, I just wanted to say thank you to both of you. And I care about you both very much.
Yeah, well, thank you. What a nice wrap up. And my hesitancies, my reservations, besides the parts that will be edited out of this episode already, right, is that I have allowed myself, I think, to like think that the snarkiness was fun. Snarkiness is fun. But right, I built snarkiness into a bit of who I am. And I do believe that has brought on some of the way people talk to me, and I can accept my part in that. I don't want to fight with strangers on the internet. I started doing this to provide helpful advice, and it's okay if you disagree with the advice. But I don't want to fight with people. I don't want any of that. And I, you know, want Gen Z and everyone else to know that I respect everything they do and the battles that everybody has gone through. And I regret that I feel like I once had built a community that I don't feel is as strong anymore, as maybe part of it is growing the size that it's grown. And even though that is not there anymore, I still want to be that person that I think people wanted to be part of the community. And I think part of that involves me also just like easing off of people who make me mad. And, you know, we'll always have the fun of the TikTok timeouts and the rants that I went on people in my TikTok lives. And I don't want that to ever go away. But I don't need to fight with you all anymore. And part of that is on me. So I do have some reservations about how much I've allowed myself to fight back at some of you. And I'm going to stop doing that.
Yes.
Cool.
Take a timeout.
Yeah. That all said, thank you for those of you who do listen. None of you who listen, as Dan said, are who any of this is aimed to. You're all just like, what the fuck are you talking about? We send you nice messages all the time about the podcast. So please continue to do that. Please review our podcast, especially on Apple. Write a review. If you can continue to add reviews and say nice things about us, that always helps us. To our listeners in the Barbados, again, get us to number one on the Barbados charts if you can. And we will talk to y'all next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye, loves.